Gary Wordish, President, Minnesota Farmers Union.
Gary, let's start by kind of dissecting the U.S. Senate candidate forum that you just participated in. Some of the issues that you and other ag leaders brought up, and some of the answers that maybe covered the bases, and some maybe that left a little bit to be desired.
Well, that's very true. You know, the issues that brought up was a trade, farm bill, renewable fuel standard, health care, and various portions of the farm bill. On the livestock side, they had a vaccine bank. So a lot of issues brought up, and you know, it's some good answers, and there are some that are pretty vague. So but that's going to happen. That's part of the political process, and that's what we're part of why we're here, too, to advocate for our issues, for ag issues, to the candidate, to the senators and congressmen and to the candidates.
If I remember right, your first question had to do with renewable fuels, and we've seen those hardship waivers go out, and EPA is under new leadership with Scott Pruitt's resignation. But as far as recapturing some of that lost market share, so to speak, what are you hearing from Washington as far as doing something about that?
Well, unfortunately, not a lot is happening, and that's why, you know, even with the new change administration or administrator, it seems like we're still on the same course. And you know, we've lost the market. You know, we've lost market share. You know, it's it still goes back to we have a hard time. The hardship waiver was put in place as a hardship waiver. You know, when the first ones became public, that got handed out, the one oil company had a $1.5 billion profit. So it's pretty hard to think of that as being hard, that they should qualify for a hardship waiver. So, yeah, obviously we would like that, put the reins on that. And, the administration says they support the E15 summer, year-round, but nothing's happening. So it seems to be a lot of talking points and no action. And as Farmers Union and as a farmer, I'm frustrated with that. The renewable fuel standard got put in place on a very bipartisan vote, and it's good for the farmers and it's good consumers. Right now we're dealing with low prices on the farm, and we have a huge surplus of corn. Ethanol helps use up some of that commodity and also lowers the price to the consumer at the pump. So it is a win. And you see Minnesota, we're a good example. We have the 20 ethanol plants around the state providing good paying jobs in rural communities, and that, you know, it's a good program. And, you know, I guess we're a little frustrated, like I said back earlier. It's a lot of talking points with no action. And that, you know, we keep pushing at a national level. And that's partly why we brought on Ann Steckel in a National Farmers Union to work primarily just on renewable fuels. And we keep beating the drum and, you know, trying to push the issue forward.
Are you aware of any possible solutions that are being floated around right now that have to do with making up for those lost gallons from the hardship waivers? Have there been any specifics talked about?
No, not really. And really, you know, once you lose the market, just like we're in a trade war now, so once you lose market share, you don't recover that. The gallons of gas that have been burned without ethanol in them, you can't reburn them gallons. They're gone. So, you know, we can't recapture it, but we gotta at least put a stop to it and maintain, you know, keep that market as we go forward. Use the gallons as we go forward.
Well, let's talk about trade, and I know you serve at the national level an advisory role on a board. What you're hearing right now and kind of what you're observing with President Trump coming out over the weekend and saying that the tariff retaliation is working, and then Chinese officials kind of responded to that by saying they're ready for a protracted trade war, like they're digging in their heels, they're prepared to do this for a long time. Where do you think we end up?
Right now, we don't end up in a good position. You know, obviously, we at the beginning of Farmers Union, we did support, you know, we do support better trade policies. We got no question about that at all, but it seems like the way the administration is going about it, we're just not getting anywhere. And, you know, I don't think we can win a trade war with China. They're, you know, that's a different type of government. You know, it's a different type. You know, they treat their people differently, and they've been at this for a long time. We're not going to back down. You know, I just think we have to come back. We have to get back to the table, and we have to bring our allies back in. We pushed our allies aside and started trade wars with our allies, and that we're really all by ourselves out there, and we won't be able to get it done. So, you know, as a farmer, I'm a little concerned. You know, they keep saying the administration or the president said to have patience, you know, it'll be better in the long run. Well, it's kind of looking like, you know, how long is this going to last? And if this continues, they're going to have farmers that aren't going to be around in the long run, and that's the part that's very frustrating.
There have been recent reports that progress is happening on the NAFTA front, specifically between the U.S. and Mexico. Is that what you're hearing? Are you feeling more optimistic about a renegotiated NAFTA getting done soon?
Well, it seems like, yeah, you see here progress with Mexico and in the U.S., but nothing with Canada. So, you know, it's still back to, it doesn't appear anything is moving. You know, we're kind of we've dug on our heels, and it seems like, you know, in the right, you know, we need to compromise on some of that stuff too, but we can't just beat up on them. We have to get to the table. I was in Germany about a month ago and met with high-level officials of the government, and they frankly said they're open to looking at all trade agreements, and they figure maybe we can make them better, but he says we got to do it at the table, and that was their concern. He said we can't, you know, in the official, he just said, frankly, he said we got to sit at the table. You can't do it by tweets, and that, it seems like we're trying to negotiate in the headlines or in front of the cameras. We're not behind the scenes getting things done, and we need to do that. You know, that's how government works, whether you like it or not. You got to have people in place, and you got to be willing to work agreements, you know, work agreements out. And I guess, you know, we're encouraging the administration to get this done.
Last year at this time, you were talking about rising health care costs and the stress that was putting on farmers and rural Minnesotans. A year later, Gary, has there been progress?
No, it seems like the health care, and that's the one that's really frustrating. It's, you know, they're playing we're playing politics with health care. We're using, you know, we heard it in the previous panel here a little bit, slamming Obamacare, which, you know, there's always issues to be slammed, but we don't fix it unless we work together, and that's the whole issue. You know, the health care costs have been rising even before Obamacare. Obamacare tried to do some things, but, you know, was it done right? No, maybe not. But we got to put the politics aside. We got to sit together and work what's best for the people, and not worry about what's working just to keep me elected. And that, you know, that people are getting tired of that. Whether it's healthcare, whether it's trade policies, whether, you know, all of it is, you know, we have to work together. The partisan politics is it's not working.
Last thing I want to talk about is the condition of Minnesota crops right now. And maybe I'm just talking to too many farmers in southwest and south central Minnesota who are seeing a lot of potholes out in fields, really worried about all this moisture. But I know in previous conversations with you, you've got a pretty good crop coming along. Is that still the case?
Well, it is. You know, we in southwest, in our farm too, is located. We've lost some crop to the water, the drowned out, and you see a lot of that out here. But you see a lot of very good looking crops too. So, you know, the farmer, if you're sitting out there, you got lost a lot of acres of drowned out, it's going to affect your yield. But overall, I think for the country, that's looking like a big crop coming on, which keeps our, you know, we have a surplus of commodities now. It's depressing prices. I don't see any relief on that right now. It looks like there'll be a big crop.
One more thing, I wanted to come back to trade a little bit and the USDA trade relief proposal, the $12 billion. Have you heard anything specific about how that money might be divvied out among commodities?
No, not specifics on it, you know, other than they say some will go to commodities, some will go to buying surplus products off the market, and some will go to trade. So you get all done, you're going to be very little that'll go back to the farmer, and that's the part. You know, we appreciate the proposal, but at the same time, I'm really worried that in the long run, the big picture, it's going to backfire against us. It's already called welfare to the agriculture, and we've been fighting that battle for years, and this does not help us. You know, it's not going to, the little bit the farmer gets off that, it won't keep him on the farm. The negatives of it are just not good. I mean, farmer needs a price from the marketplace, not, you know, they're using the Section 32 funds to administer this program. They have the authority to do that. The authority, that program is never set up for a policy decision, and that this is basically the president's policy decision to start the trade wars. And he's got backlash, you know, it's very political too. You know, all of a sudden you got elections coming up in November, and so we're going to send out $12 billion trying to buy the vote. You know, like I said earlier, it's part of some politics. We're tired of that. We need action. We need markets. The farmer needs price. You need to make a profit from the farm. You want your price from the marketplace. We don't want checks from the government. Government should just be there, and that's where the Farm Bill comes in as a safety net when things go bad, to keep you in business, because you know there's a lot of things the farmer can't control. You can't control the weather. Your markets are always subject to markets, but now all of a sudden you throw the trade wars in there, so it's another issue that farmer has no control of.
Well, Gary, I think we should revisit this conversation next August and see if there's a new Farm Bill in place. We're seeing healthcare costs come down. We're seeing better trade deals for the U.S. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, it would be. You know, and it's all nice stuff to talk about. But we need action. You know, we just can't talk about it. We got to get action. You know, things have to happen. This continues. You know, we're seeing it now. You see it in the dairy industry. A lot of the farmers are going out of business, and you'll see it in the crop. You know, we look at all the risk you have, the amount of capital required. You know, on the crop side now, 2012, I believe, was the last year we had high prices. So any profits that were made those years, you know, the equity has been burnt up. You know, the working capital is gone, and now the farmers are digging into their equity. And, you know, unfortunately, you get into the young farmer, doesn't have that equity. So if this continues, we're going to lose the young farmers that we need. That's who we need to be in business. And it's, you know, we need to get stuff done and not just throw out talking points.
Anything else you want to make sure we talk about today?
No, I think we covered a lot there, and it's a Farmers Union, and we're here, and that's part of our mission. You know, I have a family farming, and my son and their grandson, hopefully behind them at some point, granddaughter, whichever it is, and you know, that's why we're here. You know, that's the mission of Farmers Union. That's what I keep looking at the future generations. We want policies that allow them to have a chance to farm and be part of the rural community if they want to.
Thanks for your time, Gary.
Thank you, Mark.